wonderful singing this morning. I just love to hear you folks sing, singing from the bottoms of your heart. Well, if you open your Bible, well, how many of you have maybe a bulletin with you? I've got two passages, and so we'll switch between the two. Psalm 49 is our key passage, where we'll be reading there first, and then we'll be in Luke chapter 12. So if you just kind of want to get both of those found before we get started, maybe stick your bulletin in Luke chapter 12, and then just stay in Psalm 49. And I'm doing a Bible reading, you know, and that's where I get most of my messages from, is just my daily Bible study. And what does God have for me? And then I get excited about something, and I think, you know what? I need to share that with somebody else. And so you are the ones that get the benefit, and I hope that you get as much out of it as I do. But I found out that when you study it for yourself, you usually get a little more. But I'm still going to do my best to share it with you in Psalm chapter 49. And I put the title of the message, "What Will You Do When Life Catches Up With You?" What will you do when life catches up with you? I've seen an interesting little plaque up on the wall of my barber, and I should have written it down here, but it says, "I've gone out to find myself. If I should get back before I return, keep me here." And I just like that one. But, you know, you stop and think about it. Sometimes we just seem like this world is a rat race, and we're in a fast pace, and we're just shooting along. But all of a sudden, it seems like we slow up, and everything catches up. Kind of like when you're boating. If you take off real fast and then just stop, what happens? That wave comes and swamps you. And that's what can happen in life. All of a sudden, everything can catch up with you, and it's like, ooh, where did that come from? So that's what the idea of the message is. And in Psalm 49, I believe it's a psalm written here by King David, a man after God's own heart. And so as I read the psalms, they're special. They are from deep inside his heart. Now, he was a musician. I'm not much of a musician. I can't write songs. All right, but he could write songs. He could play on a 10-stringed instrument, and I'm not sure what other instruments he had invented. But he used them to bring honor and glory to the Lord. And as he was singing, the Holy Spirit would give him words and wisdom, and he wrote them down as songs for us, and they come deep from the soul. And I like to sing from the heart, and I notice that you folks do too. You can tell on Sunday how beautiful, or on all of our services, how beautiful the songs are. But there's meat and substance to these songs. So that's what we're going to look at here in Psalm 49. If you're discouraged, by the way, and you're a believer, I challenge you to get in and just start reading Psalms. David went through a lot of hard times, and he recorded how he felt. I remember one of the Psalms that's one of my favorites. He just said, "Lord," he said, "I wished I were a bird. If I were a bird, I could just fly away. Wouldn't you like that? Just fly up above all these problems and go like, you know, I would stick my tongue out. Just fly and soar and just freedom." Oh, but Isaiah 40:31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint." Strength in the Lord. David knew that's where it was to be found. He'd experienced it, and he puts it in the song. And so here in Psalm 49, just follow along with me here as I read. But I'll read out loud, and you just follow along and see what God's Word has to say. It says, "Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together." And I'm going to stop right there for a minute. This is the address of his song. Now, he's going to sing a song here in a minute, but he's addressing it. He said, hey, this song is for everyone. It's applicable to all. He says, to all the inhabitants of the world. Does that include you? If it doesn't, we need to talk afterwards. You're an inhabitant of this world. Okay, so this is including everybody. He says, I want everybody to listen to this. He said, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world. He says, both low and high. Now, I don't know where you feel you rate in the scale of lowly or high. Doesn't make any difference, does it? This is for you. All right, low and high, rich and poor. You know, well, where do you rate in that one, Pastor? Well, don't ask those kind of questions. All right, rich or poor. I tell you what, my father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. And the list goes, my father is rich. And you know what? His son, he went and he's preparing a home for me in heaven. It took him 6 days to create the earth, and he's been there quite a while. Can you imagine what this place looks like? Oh, anyway, got me sidetracked. I was excited about that there for a minute. So I'm thinking about it. He's preparing a place for us. And so we are rich. I don't have to be rich here, right? And so here it is, speaking to all. He says, both low and high, rich and poor together. You know, a lot of times in this world, people will look down on if you don't have enough money.
They'll look down if you don't have a high enough status to be in their club, in their group. You know, that's why I shop at those high-tech department stores like Savers and, you know, Dakota Boys Ranch, and you know, you get the thrift stores here in town. And why? Someone else spent the hard-earned money, got this stuff, and got rid of it, and now I can have it. You know what? God provides for all, and we're all equal in His sight. You realize that the ground is level at the cross. And so here He's just saying, I want everyone to listen. Hear this, my people. Give me your ear. Everyone's important to the Lord. And He says here in verse 3, and He says, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. He said, what I have here to tell you is the truth. This is worth your effort. Have you ever heard someone want to tell you something and it wasn't worth your effort? You ever have something like that happen? He says here, this will be definitely worth their time if you'll just listen. He says, I will incline mine ear to a parable, and I will open my dark sayings upon the harp. I don't have a harp here. And I wonder wouldn't it be neat if we could have David come up here and play this song for us? He had a harp. He would get up here and play it, and he would start to sing it. But I can't sing so I won't sing it because it's in English now. It's probably changed from the Hebrew, and it wouldn't fit in the words anyway in the song. But here's what the words are in English. He said, wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? Now that's an interesting verse, and I stopped right away, and it says, wherefore should I fear in the days of evil? And I said, what in the world does that word wherefore mean? That's a big word. And I looked it up in my Webster dictionary on my cell phone. You know, I'm real modern now. And so I clicked in there, and what does wherefore mean? It says, in the Old English, it means why. Okay? Why? Now, it means more than that. It's a deeper word than just why, but it gives you the idea, you know, why. Comparing what he has just talked about, why should he fear? When what? It says, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about. In other words, when life catches up with me. Do I need to be afraid of when life catches up with me? Now, if someone has just robbed the bank, all right, they have just made a hasty departure and a hasty withdrawal, okay? And they're on their way down the street. What do they usually do? They'd be looking back to see if someone is going to catch up with them. Why would they be so nervous? Let's say they had actually got away and they were in a store and a police officer came up and put his hand on their shoulder. What do you think they would do? Well, they'd jump clean out of their skin, wouldn't they? They'd try to bolt for the door. You know what? That police officer may not even know that they had robbed the bank. He may be just coming up to them, hey, how's the day going? And they go, my, he's got a guilty conscience. He figures that his life has just caught up with him. You know what? I think there's a lot of times in our lives where we don't want our lives to catch up with us. And here he's saying, you know what? Why should I fear? He said, I don't have to be afraid when my life catches up with me. And I said, wow, you know, that's pretty important. That's the introduction of the message. He knows that, and David here was not naive. He didn't say that life isn't going to get harder. Now, someone told me this. They said, Pastor, I just want you to know that the golden years aren't so golden. They said, you know, getting old isn't for wimps. I like that one. Getting old is not for wimps. I've noticed that older folks sometimes have some aches and pains, and they don't usually complain much. And I was talking to some, well, a lot lately, the last few weeks, I talked with different people, and I say, well, how are you feeling? Well, not so good, but nobody would care anyway. No one would listen. I said, I'll listen, and I'll care, but I don't know what I can do about it. But, you know, it's not easy always, is it? And that's what he's saying here. He's not saying that life isn't difficult and that trials aren't going to come into our lives. As a matter of fact, we know that trials will come into our lives. But do we need to fear our life catching up with us? Well, I sure hope not. And so as we go on here, how in the world, I put down here, did David have such a calmness in life? How did he know that everything was going to be all right? Do you have things you might be worried about for your future? If you don't, you probably aren't normal. You probably aren't human. But you know what? That's a good thing if you're just trusting in the Lord on it. But there's still things you could worry about, right? You're just giving them to the Lord. We all have those things. And so how in the world did David deal with this? How did he say, you know, I don't need to worry? Well, here he's going to explain to it. I don't need to worry because. But he says, before I'm going to tell you why I don't have to worry, can I tell you why some people do worry? I think that's a neat way. That makes a good message. You know, he's starting out this song, and it's got a natural outline, and he comes right off the bat. Point number one, some people are worried life's going to catch up with them because they count on their riches. They're trusting in their riches. Interesting. I just put down some things here, you know. It says here in verse 6, he says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. I just want to note some things that the Bible says very clearly here. The first thing is that I want to point out about riches is that some have a lot of wealth, but your wealth just can't sustain you. Now, we can buy groceries with wealth, right? You can take money, you go down here to the local grocery store, and you can buy all kinds of goodies. Some really good goodies. You know, I love their donuts, don't you? You can go over there and get you a nice dozen of those stuffed donuts and make myself really stuffed. I really enjoy the, you know, if you're just over that way sometime, you know, those ones with the white glaze with the strawberry filling, those are really good, you know, and they just fit so good. You can do that if you have money, can't you? You can get that good stuff. But you know what? You might end up getting sick someday. Now, if you have good money, you can hire a good doctor, right? But is it possible that you might get some kind of a disease that good doctor can't do anything about? He might say, well, let me refer you to a specialist. And you go like, yes, medicine, that will cure me. You know, don't we count on our medical teams a lot? They do a great job here in Carrington. I really do appreciate the hard work and effort that they all put in. But stop and think about it. We expect too much of them. Let me put it that way. Don't give them enough credit, but we expect too much. We almost think that every time I go in the hospital, I'll come out fixed. But you know, that's not a guarantee, is it? And I just want you to know that money can't buy you health. Money can't buy you happiness. Money can't buy you friendship. But here's one here that is even more important that David brings up first of all. Money can't buy you life. Physical life or eternal life. Now, some people will say, if you give enough money to the church, we will guarantee you eternal life. Well, they may give you the guarantee, but they don't have the authority to back it up. You know what? God says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I just want you to know that. So if someone's trying to get your money to give you eternal life, you need to go back to the Bible and say, hey, God's the one that gives that, just so you know. I just want to show you that here in this passage now that someone's probably saying, ooh, what did you just say, Pastor? Well, look what it says here. It says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in a multitude of riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, that he should live, I'm jumped to verse 9, that he should live forever and not see corruption. You can't buy life with money. Now, why did you skip verse 8? Because it's in quotation marks, right? And I didn't want to stop the flow, because when we're talking, we put things in quotes because it defines things, right? And so I didn't want to break it up. Now let's read verse 8. It says, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. When a person dies, how long are they dead for? Forever. This is a permanent thing, okay? This isn't just a temporal thing. It's permanent. So it's very important that we know where our eternal soul is headed. And I just had a cross reference here that I wanted to hit in this, and that would be in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. And now I don't expect you to turn there because we'll be going to Luke here in a minute. But I'm going to turn there and read that to you. So if you bear with me for just a second. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19 says this. It says, for as much as ye know, it's talking to Christians, those who've been saved. It says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. He's saying here, you don't get to heaven, you aren't saved with corruptible things. What's corruptible things? Well, it says silver and gold, or from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. So here's some things that the Bible says right off can't get you to heaven. The first one was silver and gold. And what was the other one? A certain kind of lifestyle based upon tradition. Wow. It says, verse 19, it says, here's the way. He says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So how do you get to heaven? Through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He made it very clear. And David here, he said this long before Peter was written. Long before he was alive. David wrote before Jesus came and died for us. Peter wrote after Christ had come and died for us. But they all have the same message, that Jesus came, He died to redeem you from your sins. Why did you repeat that so long? Because you know what? David said that's the most important thing. A lot of people are counting on their money or where they put their money to get them to heaven. And God's just saying this, money can't buy you health and money can't buy you eternal life. Jesus Christ's precious blood bought you that. So let's go on. That is, if you've received that. Let me go on here and read on. He says, "For he seeth the wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and they leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is this." So he's saying here, wait a minute. He says, have you ever seen a rich person? Yeah, I see one in the mirror every morning. Do you guys say that? There's a rich person. Boy, he's got a lot. And here's what a lot of people that don't depend on God but have money and are depending, because remember, he said, here's the people that count on riches. Here's their mindset. It says, "For he seeth the wise men likewise and the fool and the brutish person perish, and they leave their wealth to others. But their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever." So we look around us, we go like, oh, that guy, he just passed away. You know, and what did it list? He's listing different people here. He's saying, there's a wise person there. But you know what? He still passed away. He was a really wise person. He goes to the funeral, that was one wise man. You know somebody like that? There's quite a few wise people. And we really miss them, by the way, when they pass away. We're going like, wow, you know, he was really wise. He gave good counsel. I really liked him. He was a good friend. He helped me out. He gave me good advice. I could always count on him. Then it says the fool passes away too. And we're all like, well, we expect that. Then there's the brutish. What's a brutish person? You know, that's the kind of guy that has no, he's uncouth, right? Has no manners, doesn't really get along in society. He's just him. You know, he's just going through and he doesn't care. He's almost, well, the word carries along animalistic. He is kind of like, you know, no manners. Well, that guy passed away, but I am rich. And they think that they're going to live forever. I'm just going to go on forever. And maybe they aren't saying, I'm going to live forever, but my reputation, my name, now that's going to go on forever. No one's ever going to forget me. I'm going to live on by my name. It says their dwelling and their dwelling places to all generations. They say, hey, here it is. This house that I have built. Everybody's going to remember me for this. Now, I don't know of any really, there's some big houses around here. I would call them kind of mansions, but the Putnam House is about the only one I can think of that really carries the name of a person, right, in town. And it carries that name for a long time. Anybody have ever met Mr. Putnam? Never met him. Do you know what he looks like? You ever seen his picture? Some of you might have seen his picture. What it's saying here is, you know what? It says they really count on their dwelling place carrying on their name. It says they call their lands after their own names. It says, nevertheless, verse 12, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beast that perisheth. In other words, he says it doesn't make any difference. There's going to be a day when we all pass away. I know you don't like to think about it, but that's the truth. He said, but this their way is their folly. Yet their posterity approve their sayings. Selah. Now, anybody know what the word Selah is in the Bible? As you're reading through the Psalms, you see Selah. You're going like, what in the world is that? You don't ever walk up to somebody and say, Selah. Okay, it's a very strong stopping point so that we can think about something. Do we need time to think about things? He's saying, here's a song, we're going along, and can you imagine someone playing along the music, and he says, I want to warn you that there is life after this. He said, there are things that are more important than riches. He says, and there are people in this world who count on their riches. They think that their riches can buy them eternal life. They feel that their riches will carry their name forever. They feel that they can buy lands, put their names on it, and it'll last forever. Matter of fact, it even says here that their children see that their father, even though he was so rich and had a big name, he had many estates, he had much riches, but he passed away. But it doesn't sink in that they're going to pass away one of these days, and they just go on living like you'll live forever. And that's basically what it's saying. It says, you know what? We think and we live like we're going to live forever, and we aren't living for eternity. And he says, Selah, stop and think about that. But I don't have time to stop. That's me anyway. How about you? You busy in your life? And that's what he's saying. We are so busy with our lives that we don't stop and think about the impact that we're making, the consequences that are coming, and what's to follow this life. And David came up here in the very beginning and he says, you know what? He says, I'm not worried about it when my life catches up with me, because I've been living for the future. I've been living for eternal things. And so he says, just think about that for a little bit. And so he says, Selah. In verse 14, it says this. It says, like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. You know, we could spend a lot of time on here, but he goes on verse 15 and says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Selah. Another thing to stop and think about. Here's what he's saying. Death will overtake all of us. We don't like to think about it. We don't like it when it happens to our friends. But it is a fact of life and death. And it is coming our way. Have you ever seen sheep? Aren't they smart creatures? All farmers around here love to have sheep. You know, they're all going to trade off their cattle and get sheep, right? Because there's, no. Matter of fact, I hear more derogatory talk whenever I bring up, you know, sheep. They're going like, rah, rah, you know, and you get the whole, instantly get a foul taste. Why don't they like sheep? Someone said that, yeah, they're not very bright. I'll put it that way. They're not very bright. And I still, you know, growing up, my mom had sheep, and I still will just never forget the day how they were. She would call them into the barn at night, and she would get out there, and you just have to know my mom, but she would get out there and go, sheepy, 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 sheepy. And they would come running full speed. They'd come bounding out of the woods and everywhere where they were eating the grass out there. And they'd come running, and they'd have to come up the backyard through there, and they'd come through the gate, and then they would run into where the barn was. Now they paintballers go through there. But anyway, they'd come running through this gate, and it was kind of a narrow gate, and they could only go through single file. And so here they come, and they all bump into each other, you know, trying to get in the line, and they're coming shooting through, and my dad says, watch this. Now, he had maybe a little ornery streak in him. I enjoyed that part. But he took a stick, and he held it down there about, oh, a foot and a half, 2 feet off the ground. And they would come, and the first one went, he about fell over. And everybody behind him, all the sheep went, you know, as they ran into it. And he looks it over, and she's calling the sheep, and he wants to go. And everybody behind him's pushing him anyway. So guess what he does? He jumps. Jumps over the stick, no big deal. The next one looks at it, he jumps. Then the next one jumps, the next one jumps. Now they're moving out full speed again. Jump, 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 jump. Dad pulls the stick back. We sit there and they're just jump, 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 jump. What are they jumping over? They don't know. Why are you jumping? Well, I don't know. He jumped. The Bible says that people are like sheep. Why do you do that? I don't know. Everybody else is. Kids ever come to you? Can I do this? No, that's not good. But everybody else does. That's just what he's saying. People go through life like sheep, following the crowd. He says here, they're following it on down, and they follow it right to the grave. I'm doing what everybody else is doing. I've got to have a new truck. I've got to have a new car. I've got to have what he has. And that's what they work for their whole life. Just got to have what he has, as long as it's that or better, right? Nobody can have the same. You got to have a better one. And that's what it's saying here. He says, like sheep, they are laid in the grave. In other words, they didn't worry about the future. They didn't plan ahead. They just followed the crowd. And next thing you know, they followed the crowd right into death, because that's where we're all going to end up. And so he says, be careful about that. He says, us upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. Now, what's that mean? Well, some of those people earn their money by dishonest practices. Now they have a big, what we call them, nest eggs, a big estate. Lots of wealth. What happens when they pass away? Have you ever seen someone in the casket at the funeral sit up and say, I want so-and-so to have such. I want so-and-so to have... Wouldn't that would really give you the eebie-jeebies, wouldn't it? And you'd be like, whoa. You know what? I've never seen it, and you never will. Because once they passed away, how much do they have control over anything that goes on? He's trying to say that. He's trying to get it across here that once they've gone to the grave, they'll no longer have control over all of that stuff they worked so hard for. Matter of fact, sometimes I've seen the money go to the enemies of those people. And here he's saying the upright shall gain the benefit of all their hard labor. He says their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. He's just saying maybe you were very popular. Maybe you were like one of those movie stars, you know, just so beautiful that the world just can't handle it. You are, we used to say, God's gift to mankind. You're just so beautiful. And don't you notice that beautiful people, the movie stars, everybody goes down like, oh, like they're really special, right? What happens after they die? Are they still so special? That's what he's just saying. He says, you know what? Think about this. And Psalm David says this, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Think about that. What happens to you when you die? Oh, I wasn't going to bring up that morbid fact, but that's what he's bringing up here. And how can you make a song out of that? You can only make a song out of that when you're rejoicing and saying, you know what? I don't have to worry about when life catches up with me. I know there's going to be hard times in my life, but I know who's in control. I don't have to worry about my life and catching up with me because I've been living it for the Lord. And if it catches up with me, it's going to be blessings from Him. I don't have to worry about gaining riches all of my life and then losing them to someone else because you know where my treasures are? My treasures are stored up in heaven. And so David says, wow, I've got something to sing about. Do you have something to sing about? That's what he says. Think about it. Can you sing along with me? So I could just say this. How many of you, and don't raise your hands, but I could just say, I wonder if I could see a show of hands if I was singing this song. How many of you could sing this song with me? I am rejoicing in the Lord because I have true meaning to life. And when all the things catch up with me, it's going to be blessings from the Lord. I've got something to sing about. That's what I want everyone to be able to say today. And that's what David wanted. And with that, I want to take you to a couple passages in Scripture. And let's look at Luke chapter 12. I've got a few minutes yet. I've got to get one more point across here in Luke chapter 12. And this is a good passage because this isn't David speaking. Remember, David was a man after God's own heart. So here's God speaking. Boy, this is going to be good. Jesus is teaching, and I guess you could just pretend this, that Jesus Christ was teaching this lesson now, and wouldn't that be exciting? How many would think exciting if Jesus Christ was here? I would be sitting down here and just eating it up. And I'd be just saying, speak to us, Lord. And so here's what he says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 20. Well, let me start a little bit sooner, verse 13. Here Jesus is dealing with people and says, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Now, what do you think this guy's living for? For money. Someone's just passed away. Now, guess what they're doing? The relatives are fighting over the goods. You think the guy that passed away intended for that to happen? I bet he didn't. I bet you he had a plan, and it's not being followed, and now there's a fight. And I've seen that so many times. That just shows the way people's heart are. And he says, give that what... Jesus, would you straighten my brother out? And he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? He said unto them, and he just turns to the whole crowd, and he says, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Period. What did Jesus just say? This man, and is Jesus making a show of this guy and picking on him? I don't want you to know he's not. But this man came to him and said, Lord, my inheritance is being cheated. I'm being cheated out of my inheritance. My brother's taking it all. You know what Jesus is saying in sense? So? There's things that are much more important in life than money. And his jaw probably went, huh? What? What could be more important than money? If I was to ask people in society today this general question, is there anything more important than money, what do you think people would say? Sure, there's things more important than money. And you could say, like what? I don't know. If you watch their life, you'd say, what are you living for? Money. So what to them is the most important is money. Jesus is saying there's more important. And he goes on, he spake a parable unto them saying this. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Oh boy, here's a rich farmer. All right. Here's a rich farmer and he plants his crop and boy, the barley's coming in heavy. Hey, this is just like right now, right this time of year, right? Everybody's out trying to get the car, starting their fields. You know, right now it's a little damp, I've heard, but the crop is pretty good, I've heard, and so they're really excited to get it off, right? You don't want it to spoil, don't want it to get rained on, and so they're wanting to get it in, and he's got a lot. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room wherewith to bestow my fruits. He says, you know, I've been harvesting this crop, and I can tell right now that my Quonset is not big enough. And those grain bins I built back 10 years ago, they're pretty puny compared to my neighbors. And, you know, mine just isn't going to hold all that. And he said this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. Yeah, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thou shalt, thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So here the same lesson that Jesus was teaching through David in song, Jesus is now in person teaching to the people around him. Do you think the same lesson applies today? It applied in David's day, applied in Jesus' day. Do you think it applies in our day? That people are all out for money and not realizing what's important. That's why I thought this was so special in Luke here. And let me show you another thing back here in Psalms, in verse 15. David said, I have learned that some trust in riches, but point number two, I want you to know that there's some that trust in God. How many of you here today, and don't raise your hands again, but how many of you here today would say, now that's where my trust is at? Here's what David could say because his was. He says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you have, I want to take you to 1 Thessalonians. And I bet you've heard this passage preached before at a funeral. Why do we like this passage so much? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says this. And now I just went into Timothy. Hang on. Here he says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You ever heard those words before? Who's it talking to there? It says those that have trusted in the Lord. Does it say anything in here about riches? Does it say, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are rich? I want you to know that if you spend enough money, you can have comfort. Just Jesus Christ has paid the debt. And here is the thing about this passage. When you pass away, what happens to your soul if you're a believer in Jesus Christ? The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We know that, right? What about our body? Well, that goes to the grave, right? So sin had victory over the old body, right? It corrupted it. And all these years, and now it's died. Do you realize that God didn't create us to die? Sin did that. Sin made us die. But I'm with Christ, my soul and spirit. But the Bible says that Christ is going to return. Now, if you're alive here, and when Christ returns, and you're a believer, guess what happens? Won't that be neat? Raptured up to be with the Lord. But if you passed away already, and you're with the Lord, and so what happens to your body then? It gets resurrected before the Christians are raptured. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and guess what? It's turned into a glorified body. That which is corruptible is made incorruptible. When you get your new heavenly body, there won't be no aches and pains no more. There won't be any sorrow anymore. Isn't that exciting? And you know what? That's what the Bible says. That means that death is swallowed up in victory. You see, that it, to me, this is exciting. And I never realized that before, what this verse was talking about. I know that when Christ died on the cross and I accept Him as my Savior, I have eternal life. But God isn't satisfied with that. When God gets victory, He does it all the way. He even resurrects that body and repairs it and makes it into a glorified body. Nothing death has victory over that is given to God. Isn't that neat? You ever stop and think about that? Even your body is going to be perfect. And so, all those years in heaven, and I'm going to look you up, and I'm going to come up and say, hey, how are you doing? And you won't see me stooped over anymore. You won't see me stumbling over words. You're going to see perfection, because you're going to see Jesus Christ through me. Isn't that neat? And so that's what it's all about. You say, like, well, where did we get there? Well, that's what David was saying. He was looking forward to that. David was looking for a time where he was going to have that victory, and he was going to have victory over the grave. And so he says, be not thou afraid, verse 16, when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. He's saying, what are you talking about here? How many times have you felt like, you know what, that person isn't honest? That person just ripped me off. You ever been ripped off in a business deal? If you do business very long, you will be. I remember being ripped off many times, and I've had them laugh at me in my face when I approached them about the great loss and the bad check that they've written. And they say, good luck on collecting. Whew, now that'll stir you up a little bit inside. You know what? And you say, Lord, why don't you deal with those people? And God says, be patient. Because the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. He's saying this. You know what? He said, I was patient with you until you trusted me as Savior, and I've changed your life, and now you know you need to live honestly. This person hasn't trusted me yet. Wouldn't it be neat if they got saved? Yeah, that would be neat. That would change their life, wouldn't it? Yes. And that would change their eternal future too, wouldn't it? Yes, it would. He said, okay, I'm being patient, but if they won't turn from their wicked way and turn to me, their judgment is coming. And that's what he's saying here in Psalm. Be thou not afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house increaseth. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away, and his glory shall not descend after him. The while he liveth, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee. Or, though while he lived, he blessed his soul. Now, men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. So in other words, have you ever seen someone rich? Everybody go like, oh, he's the man to follow. But what happens after he dies? He doesn't take it with him. That's what he wants us to think about. What is your eternal future like? Put down some trust in riches and some trust in God. Some trust in God. And my final point is this. And then some serve God. And I'm going to close with this. I got 3 minutes. I think that's plenty of time to get this point across. Christ has redeemed your soul, right? If you've trusted Him as Savior, what are you storing ahead for eternal value? You know, what kind of a house can God build with the treasures you send ahead? With what materials we give to Him? The Bible says that when we get to heaven, there'll be rewards for service, and there'll be loss for things that we do that are a waste of time. Now, some of the things we do that are good, but we've missed out on the best. Do you ever stop and think about that? And so we're sending ahead now our works. And someday they'll be tried by fire, the Bible says, for their value. And that which is done for Christ will last. Let me take you back to Luke and we'll close. I wanted to get this last bit. Luke chapter 12. I didn't keep my finger there, so you're probably there waiting. Come on, Pastor, we're here. All right, so here we go. Luke 12, verse 31. Jesus has told them there's things that are much more valuable than riches. They said, have you considered the ravens? They don't have barns. They don't have a refrigerator. They don't have a deep freeze. They can't save up their food, but yet God takes care of them. The list goes on. He says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Then he says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God has your best interest in mind. And so Jesus says, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, and treasures in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Have you ever noticed how things don't last? I have a car. I really like that car. It gets good mileage. It rides nice. It even used to look nice. Now my wife laughs at me. She knows what I'm talking about. Well, it used to look really nice, and then I started getting these little rust spots on the back. And then when these folks were out here working on construction, I didn't pay close enough attention, and I backed into one of their trailers, and now it doesn't look so nice. The trailer's okay, but the back of the car kind of got squished a little bit. You're saying, what's the deal? I shouldn't be so transparent with you people. Now they're going to say, Pastor backed into a trailer. But what the point is, you know what? Things just don't last here on this earth. And that's what Jesus is saying. Why don't you put your treasure and your money and your investment in something that's going to last? Invest in the things of heaven. But you know what? You aren't going to invest 1 cent into the things of heaven until you realize and stop and say, see, Lot, stop and think about it. Life isn't forever, and only what's done for Christ will last. And the old saying goes, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. If you don't get anything out of the whole message, that's what David's trying to say in song here. He's saying the rich think they've got it made. They said don't get discouraged when the rich seem successful, because if you stop and think about it, they don't take it with them. He says, but you can. David said, I am. Therefore, when trouble comes, I'm not worried. God's with me. And when I die, I have an eternal rewards in heaven. And Jesus said that, and then he said this. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's what he's saying. Now that you've stopped and thought about it, where do you want your treasure? And then you made your choice. I don't know what your choice is. I will see what your choice is in the weeks ahead. That's what it says here. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to end up. Where is your treasure? Where are your hearts? I want to close with verse 43 and 44. He said, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Here's the conclusion. When Christ returns, are you going to be proud of what you've accomplished with this life? Are you looking for the Lord's return? Now, the Jews here are looking for the Lord's return at the end of the tribulation, because he's going to come back and he's going to deliver them from their enemies. By the way, is Israel persecuted by the world? And that's what it says. Christ is going to come back and deliver them, and they're looking forward to that. But you know what? They're looking for that marriage supper. But guess who the marriage bride is? That's the church. Are you looking for the Lord's return? Are you looking for the rapture, for the day when Christ will come back? You know what? Wouldn't that be exciting if he did that today? My dad always said this, and he had heart problems, very severe heart problems. And he always said this. He said, son, I just hope that the Lord returns soon and we can go to heaven as a family. And I was so, that would be great, Dad. I didn't want to see Dad pass away, and I was so excited. That would be great. But then, in my selfishness, I said, but I haven't got to do this in my life yet. Now that I look back, that was foolish. You know what? Heaven's a wonderful place. I was thinking on the wrong things. Where my treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your heart today? Where is your treasure? What are you living your life for? Because this is the most valuable thing you will ever have, and that is your time. You'll never have that again. You ever notice that? How many of you ever gone back and redone time? I don't like the way I lived yesterday. Chance two. You know, doesn't work that way, does it? That is your most valued commodity. If someone takes time with you, they're investing their life in you. Isn't that something special to think about? God says, what are you investing your life in? Conclusion, what will you do when life catches up with you? Have you secured your soul's destiny? Have you any treasures laid up in eternity? And will your treasures stand the test of fire? Are they gold, silver, and precious stones? I've had a lot of people tell me this. I said, Pastor, it doesn't really matter what I do in life. And that disappoints me, because you know what? It matters everything what you do in life. You've only got one life. And when it's over, it's over. And I want to be standing there with you in heaven, rejoicing over what God has done for you. Well, let's go ahead, and we'll go ahead and close in the hymn invitation. The invitation time is a time where, if you haven't known Christ as your Savior, you can come and we'd be glad to show you from the Scripture. If you're a Christian, are your treasures laid up? All right. Let's go ahead and stand. Turn to hymn number 317. Cleanse me. Search me, O God. 317.
Search me.
bless you through this week. Hope to see you out this evening as we study on humanism. That's been an interesting study for myself. I hope it has been for you too. But see you out tonight at 7. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. Lord, guide and direct as people go their homeward ways. Bring them back safely this evening. Lord, I just pray that you be with those that aren't here today, whether they're traveling or sick or just not able to be here. Just be with them in a special way and bring them back with us. We sure do love you. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Lord, help us to store up treasure in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.